RTL Original Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Song 2. We're back with our first episode of Season 3 and we're kicking things off with the enormous smash hit from The Offspring, Self-Esteem. The Offspring's third album, Smash, remains one of the greatest little band gone big stories ever. While it is true that Come Out and Play was the first time the mainstream media suffered whiplash in relation to The Offspring, the band themselves never undersell its importance. It was Self-Esteem, of course, that received blanket coverage on MTV and catapulted a popular but not yet huge punk band to international stardom. Released on April the 8th, 1994, The Offspring's third studio album is the biggest selling rock album ever released by an indie label, Epitaph. The biggest ever is by Adele, in case you were wondering. Dexter Holland, Noodles & Co. could not have anticipated what would follow the release of a song about a guy who let his girlfriend walk all over him. Offspring's lead singer Dexter Holland wrote the song in a pre-PhD time, and it's a semi-true story based on his own experiences and that of his friends. "The thing where late at night she knocks on my door was real," he told Radio.com, referring to the lyrics, of course. "Late at night she knocks on my door, she's drunk again and looking to score." He added, "and practicing all the things he would say was a funny thing that had happened before." Now, I can remember putting Smash on repeat, and it was Self-Esteem I would go back to again and again. Revisiting it now, I'm amazed at the simple power of the song. It is immediate, it is fun, it is angry, and it sounds as fresh as it ever has. The same, perversely, cannot be said of the band's latter output, which is, I guess, why some songs are considered classics and others as filler. According to a clip on the Offspring's Greatest Hits DVD, the famous intro on the song, where the members sing along to the tune of the main riff, was first going to be played on an acoustic guitar, before the instantly recognisable electric guitar riffs come in. Not everyone in the band was on board with the track from the off, though. Guitarist Kevin Noodles Wasserman told Rolling Stone, "When we were first writing Self-Esteem, I didn't get it at all. The song structure just seemed weird to me. We were used to playing everything really fast as we could, and here was a song that was a little slower." The Offspring were signed to Epitaph Records in 1994. The label was owned by punk rocker Brett Gurewitz, co-founder of the group Bad Religion, and was home to acts like Pennywise, L7, and NoFX. These bands had fervent fans, but were only ever heard on college radio stations, or soundtracks to skate and snowboard videos, for example. As Self-Esteem became part of the punk rock battering ram that stormed the pop music castle in 1994 with the album Smash, the Offspring suddenly had more pop appeal. Their tracks were shot through with more hooks and catchier riffs than most punks could produce at that time. And their ability to reach wider audiences was a game changer. It could be argued that, along with Green Day and their album Dookie, they led the way for the late 90s punk breakthrough. Historians have written reams on Nirvana having made the initial dents in mainstream thinking with the 1991 album Nevermind, introducing grunge to the mainstream. From there, punk was only a few steps behind. Kurt Cobain was found dead on April 8th, 1994, incidentally the same day Smash was released. The Offspring toured the US with Pennywise at the start of 1994, and having been given a preview of the upcoming record, singer Jim Lindbergh remarked to his bandmate, guitarist Fletcher Drager, that he believed that their special guests might just break out given the quality of their new LP. Snorting in derision, Drager replied with words to the effect of, "Let them get back to us when they've sold 100,000 albums." Back then, if you had not yet signed or did not want to sign with a major label, 100,000 album sales was your high-end target. But those sights were far below where the band and their label saw things going. Gurewitz, head of Epitaph Records at the time, hired a professional plugger to shop the album's first single, Come Out and Play, to radio stations up and across the United States. And then, when influential Los Angeles broadcaster K-Rock began playing the song on increasingly heavy rotation, the needle began to move. At this pivotal point in their career, the Offspring were still little more than a part-time band. Noodles was employed as a janitor at the Earl Warren Middle School in the shadow of Disneyland, while bassist Greg Kay worked in a print shop. Epitaph somehow managed to ship millions of albums with their limited resources, but they eventually lost the Offspring to major label Columbia, with both Green Day and the Offspring facing the wrath of some hardcore early fans who felt they were selling out by signing to a major. Again, a ripple of that same Nirvana effect. Never mind that the album's modest recording budget of somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 in the 21st century, memories are vague on the precise figure, required its producer Tom Wilson to live in a campervan while the band tracked its songs. Upon hearing the finished result, Gurewitz said to his wife of the time, "Everything's changed. We're going to be rich." Of their lengthy catalogue, Self-Esteem is the crown jewel of the songs the Offspring have produced. This very song is responsible for introducing the Offspring to other countries outside the United States. Indeed, this song launched their music careers into overdrive and cemented the band's early legacy. Gurewitz himself turned down an offer from Sony of $50 million for a 49% stake in Epitaph Records based on the sales of Smash alone. In an unhappy ending to the fairy tale, of course, the Offspring themselves would soon decamp for pastures new, with a lavish recording contract with the Columbia label. By then, though, the band had made their point that a punk rock act on a modest punk rock label could conquer the continents and seas on entirely their own terms. Satisfied with his lot by the summer of 1994, Noodles even resigned from his job as a school janitor. And there you have it, the first episode of Season 3, and again, we're kicking off with a strong contender for one of the best Song 2s currently out there. In putting this episode together, we looked at recordcollector.com, Revolver, Louder, Rocksound, oldtimemusic.com, songfacts.com, songmeanings.com, genius.com, and we only, I swear, looked at Wiki to check that the track listing was correct, as we got a wee bit squeaky of the bum at a point. As this is the first episode of Season 3, we would really like to see our modest little pod rocket to the top of the charts. And for that to happen, we, ergo I, would ask you to hit subscribe, drop a review and or a star rating, and please pass the message on down the line. Song 2s are real. Song 2 is researched, written, recorded, and produced by me, Stephen Stepslow, for Today Radio. Thanks for listening. Cheers.